Yeah. Yeah, and that phrase there, that he taught as one having authority, I wonder if we ever think about exactly what that's really saying, or we just pass over that as part of the verse. He taught as one having authority. Look through this passage where Jesus is talking, and look at how many times he makes this personal statement. How many times he says, I, or my, mine, me. He was the one he was talking about. You know, he was the authority. As a teacher or a preacher, when he stands up front, he can speak and talk as one having authority. But that comes back to what Charles was saying. You're repeating what the one that had authority is telling you to say. And so as long as you reference the proper authority and say, God says, but Jesus didn't have to say that, did he? He says, I say. This is mine. This is me. You know, he taught as one having authority, and when he talked and taught them, it says that in verse 28, when he ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching. They never heard teaching like this before. How did the scribes teach? Yeah. Yeah. What was the responsibility and job of the scribe? Yeah, he was a writer. He copied and wrote the law, so he knew the words of the law. Just by repetition, he had written it enough that he knew what the law said, but he couldn't teach that. It was what somebody said, and when they would teach, they would reference what the rabbi had said, or what the teacher was saying, or what the doctor said. He said, and so they used a lot of references. That's the way they taught. But when Jesus taught, look at the personal application that he made from that, Richard.
I was just going to say that if he spoke in first person, the first ended, and the other spoke in second
person. Yeah.
And he had to reference what somebody else told
him
or what they had seen.
Yeah. And it's like Rodney was mentioning, he didn't have to, he had the confidence. He didn't have to, I think, or, you know, and we talk, we got to make sure we look down here and read it and make sure what it says. But Jesus spoke it. It was one as having authority. He had the authority. And so it's interesting that the crowd saw that and they understood that and made an impression on them. Question two. Who has number two? Okay, and we talked Sunday about what was the lawlessness?
Transgression of man, the sin.
Okay, the sins. What led to that lawlessness? Yeah. They were lawless. They didn't have the law on their side. They were teaching something that wasn't in the law. And so they were lawless. And it says that the angels are going to come and pluck those out. So anybody that's outside of the doctrine, as John says, they have not God. And so the lawless ones are the ones that are acting without authority outside the law. Question three. Passage we've looked at both weeks in our study.
Baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?
Yeah. Again, back to the aspect of there are two sources of authority in the Lord's response, heaven and man. Question four. Who has number four?
said, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things.
Okay. In Philippians 3, again, the idea of being using the same standard, the same authority is the way we stay with the same mind. Number 5. Okay. Not to think of ourselves above what is written. What's he saying to us there?
To be humble.
Yeah. And I thought about that. It takes humility to be submissive to an authority. If we don't have humility, the proper humility, for God and God's Word, we're not going to listen to it. And so here Paul warns Christians to be of a humble spirit. That's one of the characteristics of the new man. To put on these things. We're supposed to be a humble individual. Question 6. Yeah, again, a passage we looked at last week. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. And again, that phrase, in the name of, means what?
By
His authority. So everything that we do, Paul says, we must have authority for doing it. And so do all by the authority of Christ. Question 7. Who has number 7?
For he that bedded him, God's deed is partaker of his evil deeds.
Okay. So what's John saying to us here?
If you approve of someone else's wickedness, you're a partaker in it.
Yeah, you're just as guilty as that person if you give him God's speed. And encourage him in that. So it says, don't greet them, don't accept them, don't listen to their false teachings. You're just as evil as they are. And then question 8. Who has number?
Every man shall add unto these things. God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Okay. And that's talking about changing or altering God's law. If we add anything to it, then it automatically changes. It perverts it, adulterates it, or if we take something away. So again, back to the idea of doing all by the authority of Christ. Don't take anything away or add to it. These are some of the passages that the writer used for the lesson. And the brief answers... question 1, authority is what? The definition.
Legal or right for power.
Okay, legal or right for power.
Right to command or act.
Yeah, the right to command or to act. The right to control. Again, definitions that we use for authority. Along with that, that he has the right to command, that automatically gives us the responsibility to obey. So he has the right to command of us certain things, and if we're going to be submissive to his authority, then we must obey and must do those things that he asks us to do. Question 2. Name 2 sources or 2 things which must recognize concerning authority. The first one I just answered, the proper source. One is from man, one from God. What's the second one? Okay. The 2 things he said must be recognized concerning authority. One's the proper source of it, And then the second one is our need to obey it. Again, back to the idea that he has the right to command, and we have the responsibility to obey. Question 3 says, define iniquity. Okay, lawlessness.
Sin.
Transgressing God's law. Yeah, sin is missing the mark. What did that have to do with our lesson on authority? How does that fit into our discussion on authority?
Following through with the obedience of Christ or the will of God, his authority, doing as he commands, and not going away on our own, standing fast in his will, and doing as he authorizes us to do, rather than doing what we assume he wants us to do.
Okay. David? Okay. Rod? Yeah. Yeah. It's like when a shooter takes aim, if he doesn't know what the target is, you know, he's going to be everywhere. So you have to know what the target is. What's the idea of transgressing? You go against boundaries. When you transgress something, you go beyond. Again, you miss the mark. And so that's the idea of being lawless. You've acted outside of the authority. And God refers to that as sin. That little three-letter word. Richard? Yes. Yeah, that's back to the idea of adding to something, going beyond what's being asked to do. Yeah. Okay, question 4 says, how does the New American Standard Bible read in Matthew 7:23? Does anyone have a New American Standard version? Okay. Again, the idea of lawlessness, acting without law, going beyond. Question 5, what shall be done with them which do iniquity?
Cast into the furnace.
Yeah, so they'll be cast out, cut off, be cast into the furnace, burned. Again, the idea that we talked before, the seriousness of acting without authority. It's not just a matter of we can or can't, whatever we want to do. It's a matter of spiritual life or spiritual death. It's a very serious matter. We looked at Nadab and Abihu in the Old Testament, Cain and Abel, those situations. Very serious matters of acting without authority. Question 6, in whose name must all things be done?
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, by his authority. Again, as the author said in the very first introductory of the lesson, he's going to continue to hit these points over and over and over. There's a need for repetition so we can learn and remember those things. All things must be done in the name of Jesus. What is the condition of entering into the kingdom of heaven? Yeah, back to the simple word of obedience. We must be obedient to him. Listen to his word. He has the right to call what's right and what's wrong. He is the potter and we're the clay. He has the authority to call. Question 8, if one transgresses the doctrine of Christ, what is his condition before God?
Yeah,
he's lost, isn't he? Again, back to the idea that God has a right to command, and we have the responsibility to obey. If we refuse to obey, so we'll be lost, we'll be cut off, we'll be without God. Question 9, what makes one wise in God's sight? Yeah. And Jesus said in verse 24, chapter 7, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like to a wise man. And he gave the example of the wise and the foolish. So when we hear what God wants us to do, and we act upon that and we do it, in God's sight, we're a wise person. God forbids our thinking of men above what? Yeah. What is written? Again, back to his word. Yeah. Men are just that. Men. You know, you probably all heard comments from preachers talking about the commentaries and things that men write. It's merely what a man thinks about a situation or a verse. It's not the authority. We're not to think of men, putting them up on pedestals and holding them in high positions. We were just talking the other day. What happens when that person falls? We've got him sitting up here on a pedestal and think he's the greatest thing to ever come along. And when we find out that he's fallible and sinful, what happens to us? You know, sometimes we crumble. Sometimes we lose our faith over such matters. We should not put men on pedestals because they are merely men. We need to put God in that position. So again, back looking to the proper source, holding the proper authority. Under talk time, question 1 says, tell who can and who cannot enter into the kingdom of God, according to Matthew 7.
Who can and he that doeth the will, and who can't, he that does not rely on God.
Okay. The one that does God's will is going to be the one that be accepted. Again, the other side of the coin is those that do not, cannot enter the kingdom. Will there be good religious people turned away? Yeah. Yeah. What's it mean to be religious? It's a word we talk about all the time. What do we mean when we say he's a religious person? Yeah. Yeah, it's an attitude. Richard? Yeah.
It's a belief system.
Yeah, it's a belief system. The old definition they used to give years ago was a way of life, a way of living. How you conducted yourself, that was your religion, that was the way you lived. Webster had a definition of a reverential worship. Again, back to the idea that Richard gave, recognizing there's an authority above us, and you turn to that person. Jesus said in that last day, many are going to say to me, didn't I do all these great things? Didn't I religiously do those things? Wasn't I faithful to what I did? What's going to be their answer, reply?
Depart from Lord, I never did.
Yeah. Those that are acting outside of law, again, the lawless ones, the ones that are doing what was not required of them, they're going to be lost. See, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be religious that are not going to be saved. Question C, why will the Lord say unto them, depart from me? Okay. How's he worded? Yeah. I don't know you. Yeah. I don't know you. What's he saying? He didn't recognize him or didn't? I thought he knew everybody. I thought he knew all the hairs on our head.
He knew about their lives, how they live, what they profess to be when they weren't actually doing it, what they're saying.
Yeah. You weren't pleasing to me. You weren't acting in a way lawful. You weren't doing those things that were required of you. So I don't know you. And again, the idea of being departed without God, the seriousness again of being working with the right authority. Question two, what made the wise man wise and the foolish man foolish? Again, he wants to drive these points home over and over and over. What was it that made the guy wise?
The wise man heard his word and listened to it and did it. The foolish man heard it and chose not to do it.
Yeah. They heard the same word, heard the same commands. One did and one didn't. Grangio, comment. Question B, in the spiritual realm, who is the wise man?
Those who know the will of God and do it.
Yeah, again, back to the obedient one. The wise one is the one that does it. The foolish one is?
The one that ignores,
the one that won't do it. Does the paragraph relate to the need for authority and the respecting of authority?
Yes. Yeah. You have to respect authority, whether or not you think it exists or not.
Yeah. Again, it comes back to the humble spirit, the humility. What's it mean to walk by the same rule? Again, back to Philippians chapter 3. How do we walk by the same rule? Using the same standard, right? Like we talked about last week with the gallon of gas. They all use the same standard, so you can go to one station to the other, and you get the same amount of gas. Using the same authority, same standard, you're going to get the same result. What are some illustrations of walking by the same spirit or same rule? How'd you answer that? What are some examples that would show that we're walking by the same rule?
We teach the same plan of salvation, same path of worship.
Okay, the plan of salvation would be one example, yeah. Teach the same on that. The acts of worship. Yes. Can we be of the same mind if we do not recognize the same standard of authority? Yeah, it'd be an impossibility, wouldn't it? Yeah. If everybody had their own standard or their own think-sos, there'd be 150 different directions to go. So it would be an impossibility if we didn't use the same authority, the same standard.
And that verse is how much you can be unified. The only way you can be unified is if you're all on the same, fall to some standard.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was talking last Sunday after class. We were talking about some people have the idea that, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, we're all going to the same place, we're just going on different roads. You know, they'll pull out a road map, that mentality. You know, we can go from here to Indianapolis. Well, how many roads lead to Indianapolis? If you look on a map, there's multiple ways that we can get to Indianapolis. But that's not the way the scriptures are written, is it?
They want to use that standard, Mike, and go by this one. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man saw, that shall he also reap.
Yeah, a passage that Jerome used Sunday in one of his lessons. How many ways are there to God? One. Yeah, Jesus simply said, I am the way. I am not a way, but I am the way. There's only one way to God. And so, if we're not using the right standard, not staying within that authority, we're going to be acting lawless and out of that standard. So there is but one way. Again, back to the narrow road. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. We already looked at that verse. What is the charge given to God's people in this reference? What does Paul say our responsibility is according to 1 Corinthians 4?
To be humble, but not think of yourself better than others, but rather to just be thankful for what you have, because it came from one source. That's God.
Yeah. It takes humility on our part to be in compliance with what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 4. And compare this verse to 2 John 9 through 11, and do they teach the same lesson? Yeah. They both teach the same thing, don't they? It takes humility on our part. We must be submissive to God's authority and to God's way. Question 5. What or who is condemned in Revelation 22? Okay, the one that adds to or the one that takes away? The one that changes or alters God's word? God says you're condemned for doing such. Again, back to the idea of what does in the name of the Lord mean in Colossians 3. As the author said, it may seem taxing to over and over and over, but these are ideas and these are passages that we need to get a grasp on and make part of our reasoning when we talk about spiritual matters. We must act and do in all in His authority. Matthew chapter 21, 23 through 27 says, be prepared to answer the following questions. Did the Jews recognize a need for authority? Pastor, we looked at the first lesson of our study. And when they asked, by what authority do you do these things? Yeah, they recognized there was a need for it. They didn't agree with it, but they recognized that there was a need for it. Did they recognize that authority was that authority must come from one who has the right to give? Yeah, I think they recognized that, but they weren't willing to submit to it, were they? You see from their response. Does the answer of Jesus show His recognition of these things?
There's no doubt. Jesus did recognize the authority of God.
Yeah.
And his authority was in what he did.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus was the authority. He recognized that. Indeed, the answer that Jesus gave shows that there was only two sources of authority. And what are they?
Divine and human.
Okay, divine and human. Heaven and God, earth and man. The think questions they have, since those who work iniquity practice lawlessness will be rejected, is it safe to contend that we do not need authority for all that we do?
Well,
yeah. And the obvious answer is no. And when you ask a question like that, people look at that and say, well, that's so foolish and so simple. No, the answer is no. But now you put a situation in front of people, and how do they respond to it? Well, I think we need to do this, or I think we need to do that, or look at this, look at that. And they don't put it into practice. We turn to our think-sos and how we want to do things, what we prefer. So the question's easy to answer, but must be difficult to put into practice. Yeah. How many times that situation plays itself out? When you start putting your emotions and starting putting faces to those situations, then it gets difficult sometimes. Question three, if we walk by the same rule, we all have unity. That's what Jesus prayed for. When division exists, what is apparent?
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah. Just simply when we don't use the proper authority, people's opinions start getting involved, then we don't have that unity that Jesus prayed for, do we? The true and false. Jesus said the man who does not build a house is foolish.
Yes, he meant a spiritual house. It's true.
The answer is false, isn't it? He didn't say anything about not building. It's how he built and where he built that made him the foolish person. They both built a house. The house was both of them built. But that's exactly right. One built on the wrong foundation, and he became a foolish man because of that. The Bible says all good and honest people will enter the kingdom of heaven.
False.
And we've all heard sermons and talk about Paul especially, a good example of that. Paul was a very sincere man, but he acted without authority. There's named about three passages there when I thought about Paul. So I turn over to Acts chapter 22. Somebody read the first five verses for us. Okay, Paul was defending the truth here, And he was being called into question for his actions and his defending Christ. And Paul takes him back through a journey. He says, I was a Jew. I was born a Jew, born in Cilicia. And I was zealous toward God. I wanted to please God. I wanted to do everything I could. I persecuted the way. I persecuted this way to the death. I bound these people. He was there when Stephen was stoned. You know, he was very sincere in what he did. But he was very wrong. And just a few pages over, when he's talking to Agrippa, chapter 26, and somebody read verses 9 through 11 for us.
Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I punished them often in every synagogue, and fell into blasphemy. Being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even in the foreign city.
Yeah, so here again he's explaining how he behaved himself. He was very zealous. He was very much convinced that he was supposed to do these things. I thought that I must do many things against Christ. And he told about where he did it and how much he did it to punish him to the death. And then he talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Somebody read verses 12 through 14 for us.
I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. For formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was flowed with me for the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Verse 13, he said, even though I was very sincere about what I did, I acted ignorantly doing it. I was acting wrong. I was acting without authority. So Paul was a good example of this. Sincerity is not enough to make us right, is it? Paul was just as wrong as he could be in what he did, no matter how much he believed it was right. Rodney? How many times you talk to someone and they say, well, my pastor says or my preacher says, and they use him as the authority, the standard. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, very important subject. Grant?
Good point. Very good. Appreciate all your comments. JR will be back this weekend, so he'll be here for
Sunday.